Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up. And, you know, we got a couple things on the menu for today. Before we get into any of that, I want to acknowledge that this show, this broadcast, is broadcasting on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkumilam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And to start off today's episode, we got an interview with Jesse. This is with Antonia Anguera Rincon, and it is on this event that was held by the, I think, School Communication here at SFU, and it had to do with men's mental health, shame, and Avatar the Last Airbender, which is an interesting combination, but the way it comes together for in this event and how they're sort of using this cartoon to speak on men's mental health and feelings of shame and feelings of finding balance within your life is actually really interesting and hopefully helps some people out. So without further ado, here is that interview.
What if the best way to help men open up about their feelings is watching anime? That's the premise behind Finding Balance, the first in a planned series of workshops aiming to help young men connect with their emotions and work on their emotional and mental well-being through the wildly popular anime Avatar: The Last Airbender. The first installment, open to participants of all genders and levels of familiarity with Avatar, explores shame on Tuesday, November 17th at Simon Fraser University in Burnaby. I'm Jesse Wensloff, and I spoke with Antonia Anguera, the creator and facilitator of the workshop, ahead of the first installment.
So my name's Antonia Anguera. I am originally from Bogota, Colombia, so I've been here for about 6 years now. I'm a communication and sociology student at SFU, and I'm going to be talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender, Finding Balance, which is a workshop that I created. Yeah.
Tell me about Finding Balance.
Finding Balance is essentially a workshop where we take the storytelling in Avatar: The Last Airbender and we use that as kind of a platform to explore emotions. So this started as a project in one of my classes that I took last summer. It was a communication class, actually a graduate seminar, and I have been studying masculinity for about 3 years now, and I really wanted to create some sort of capstone project to culminate all of my findings and really try and help bring forth this idea that masculinity is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It just needs a little bit of reworking. So my whole idea was to create a workshop where we had characters that were going through some sort of emotional journey and that were engaging with emotional vulnerability. So that's why I created Finding Balance, because I don't know if you've seen Avatar, but it has incredible storylines that deal with plenty of different themes, including colonialism, you know, genocide, but also just emotional vulnerability in general. So I thought it was like a great way to introduce young men specifically to this idea of, you know, the most masculine thing that a man can do is be emotionally vulnerable. So that's why I created Finding Balance. Yeah.
There's so many different things I want to pull apart there.
Know.
One of the things that's really interesting to me is this idea of addressing masculinity.
Yes.
And, you know, as a feminist, as someone who believes that patriarchy is responsible for a lot of the things that are wrong with the world today, it's also very apparent to me that the left, progressive thought, has not done a very good job of speaking to men, particularly young men. What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is part of the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, right? Like, I myself am a feminist, and of course I support the feminist cause, and I think that when I was really starting my feminist studies at SFU and I was delving into that realm of theory, I came to realize that we were leaving like a significant portion of the population behind, and that was specifically men. Like men, when they hear feminism, it's not necessarily something that they're interested in or that they want to follow up on, right? So what I want to do is essentially make sure that I'm meeting young boys and men where they're at. And most often than not, that means that we have to adjust the way that we talk about things and adjust the way that we are approaching emotional vulnerability. So most of my research around masculinity has focused on how do I even get a conversation started with young men about feminism or about emotional vulnerability. And what I've found is that we need triangulation techniques, because just one-on-one, you know, if I ask you to be vulnerable with me, it might be a little bit difficult. But if we have something else that we can focus on, like a show, or if we're doing something, you know, it could be like arts and crafts, or maybe we're working on something together, it's slightly easier for men to open up and to even be more open to discussing things like feminism, like misogyny, like racism, like all these different things that we do have to address. It's just a matter of diffusing some of the tension that can come with, you know, having a one-on-one conversation with something else. So that's what I'm trying to do with the workshop. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, like fandom and the things that people are interested in are a really good way in, right? Mm-hmm. And also a really good way of, you know, part of, I think, the difficulty for men talking about masculinity and toxic masculinity and talking about feminism and patriarchy is that there's an inherent sort of guilt there 100%. Sometimes, right? That it's like, oh, well, that's me mm-hmm. and that's my fault. Mm-hmm. And so being able to talk about it in the context of a piece of media that I love is a really interesting, like I said before, sort of way in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is exactly what I'm trying to do. Like, I just did a presentation recently for one of my classes where I was talking about another project that I'm doing surrounding masculinity. And I mentioned this specifically, and I mentioned kind of like the triangulation technique. And somebody asked me, well, doesn't that kind of just reinforce this idea that men are not comfortable being emotionally vulnerable? I said, eventually, the goal is to not even have to use a triangulation technique and just to be able to establish a conversation. But again, that's not where we're at right now. And as you said, there's guilt here. There's a lot of different emotions that we have to explore. And part of getting men on board with the feminist cause and part of even just establishing emotionally resilient and inclusive communities for all means that we have to move through those emotions that are sticky and difficult, like guilt, like shame, like grief, because, you know, we've all been both victims as well as perpetrators when it comes to emotional pain, right? So how do we create spaces where we're exploring those things and spaces that are inclusive of varying identities, varying levels of comfortability with emotional vulnerability, right? I think that's what I'm really trying to explore, if that makes sense.
Totally. And I think it's really interesting that you mentioned sort of meeting people where they're at or acknowledging the reality of the situation. And, you know, maybe this isn't the ideal way for men to be engaging with emotions and being vulnerable, but we can't work from the ideal spot necessarily. We have to work from where things are, right?
Exactly. Yeah. The characters as well in the show. Are you familiar with the show?
A little bit. You know, I've watched episodes here and there, but I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool fan necessarily.
Okay. Well, highly recommend. It's an incredible show. But part of the reason why I wanted to use Avatar Thick Lee is because the characters in the show start off at a certain point in their emotional journeys, right? So, for example, the main character, Aang, he's very, very avoidant. And then the main villain of the show, Zuko, he is incredibly, incredibly aggressive and what you would deem to be a quote-unquote toxically masculine man, right? But as the show progresses, you see them grow and really center themselves in authentic masculinity. So Aang becomes more open to addressing things and he doesn't run away as much anymore. And Zuko, on the other hand, he becomes much more humble and he understands, okay, I've done things that I'm not proud of in the past. You know, I've plenty of mistakes in my story, but I can change things and I can improve and I can move in this world with community, care, and connection in mind. And I can, you know, undo the mistakes or help both myself and others find authenticity. So it's a very, very slow progression throughout the show. And that is why I also like it, because emotional vulnerability is, or it should be, a progress as well, right? It should be a slow build. It shouldn't be like, okay, we're getting in here and you're going to tell me everything that makes you ashamed or everything that is weighing on you. No, it should be like a give and take, you know? Maybe sometimes you open up a little and then you take a step back and you breathe and then maybe you do a little bit more, or maybe you find out, okay, this is a pace that I'm comfortable with, right? So it's a really slow build, because if the goal is to create emotionally resilient communities and to have infrastructure that can really hold the conversations around genocide, around misogyny, around racism, homophobia, we need to take our time to make sure that we're really building things properly, right? It shouldn't be a rush process, because our communities deserve better. Men deserve better. So the idea behind this is that you can follow along. It's like a watch along series. And as the characters grow, you're also encouraged to grow with them.
Great. So this is the first installment of this project.
Hopefully. Yes.
Why did you choose to start where you started with Shame and with the particular episode that you've chosen?
Oh, that's a great question. So I had originally wanted to explore anger. I was going to do anger for my first workshop, but I was looking at the work that I had done in my graduate class, and I was looking over kind of the portfolio that I had created in that class, and I came to realize that a lot of the reason why I've been so hesitant to even create something like this, because, you know, I was at war with myself for such a long time, being like, okay, I'm a woman who's studying masculinity. I don't know if this is my place. Like, there's a lot of insecurity that was there. There was also a lot of shame that was connected to that, you know, shame around, okay, am I good enough? Or I guess really it was insecurity. And as I explored masculinity and as I explored the emotional states of men, a lot of things came up for me as well, right? And shame was just so prevalent throughout that entire journey that I thought it would be a good idea to start there, because I think, well, I mean, I don't think, I know research shows that part of the reason why we are so resistant, it can be men, women, anyone really, to reaching out for help and to engaging with emotional vulnerability is shame, is the fear of, what if I'm rejected? What if, you know, I say something and I can't take it back, and then something fundamentally changes. I'm ostracized from my community, or my partner doesn't want to be with me anymore, whatever it is, right? Shame is an inhibitor to emotional vulnerability and connection. And because I'm trying to establish emotionally connected communities, it makes sense to start with shame, right? Yeah.
Great. And the episode in particular, what can you tell me about that and why we've chosen to start here?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're watching season 1, episode 12. It's called The Storm. And this episode particularly, I thought would be a good idea to use, because first and foremost, it gives you a background of like the character storylines. So it tells you about Aang's storyline. That's the main hero of the Avatar The Last Airbender series, as well as Zuko. So both of these characters, when we meet them, we don't really know much about them, but this episode gives you the background of where their shame comes from. And it gives you the background of some really, really heavy events that happened in their lives. And it's an exploration of their shame. So it's perfect, because I know that a lot of people do know Avatar, but also, you know, there's people that, like yourself, that maybe haven't seen the whole series or maybe are not familiar with it. So having that bit of background about the characters, but also having a really rich environment in which you can explore shame, just, it was perfect. Yeah.
For anyone who's listening who might be curious, do you have a pitch or a reason people should come?
Yeah, if you've ever heard about Avatar The Last Airbender, it's a great way to connect with people that love Avatar, or maybe even just dip your toe in the world of the series. But also, if you yourself are like me and you're looking for ways to connect with community, ways to engage with people, it's a fantastic way to open yourself up to that. You know, there's going to be snacks, there's going to be prizes, but also plenty of opportunities for you to really engage with yourself, your emotions, and the people. So if you're hungry for community, care, and connection, please come. I would love to have you.
Great. And where and when is this happening?
Yes. So this is happening November 18th, 3:30 p.m. Doors open at 3:15. And it will be at the communication boardroom. That is K8652. That is the kinesiology wing of the Burnaby campus.
Great. Anything else you think people should know about the event or about Avatar or yourself?
Well, the event itself is taking place during November, or Movember, which is Men's Mental Health Month. So if you have the means, if you're interested, I would highly, highly recommend that you check out Movember and maybe consider donating. And if you can grow a mustache, You should.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to share about this really interesting event.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Finding Balance, an Avatar The Last Airbender workshop, starts Tuesday, November 17th at 3:30 p.m. in room K8652, the communications boardroom at SFU's Burnaby campus. For CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, I'm Jesse Wensloff. This story is made possible by funding from the Local Journalism Initiative and can be found online with other stories from across the country at frequencynews.ca.
Once again, thank you to Jesse Wensloff and Antonia for that interview on dealing with shame and putting an event together, essentially, that involves Avatar The Last Airbender and dealing with feelings of shame and healthy masculinity in that sense. So yeah, that can be attended today. That has not happened yet, but it will be occurring later today, I think, in the communications lounge here at SFU Burnaby. So make sure to attend that if that is something that sounds of interest to you. Sounds like it's going to be a very entertaining and really valuable event. So yeah. All right, we are on to the next portion of this episode, which is going to be the majority of this episode, because recently, last Thursday specifically, November 13th, I attended the Vancouver Nardwar Video Vault at the Hollywood Theater, and I was able to attend as a media representative for CJSF, which was really awesome. And the event itself was just really, really great. Nardwar is someone that, you know, has a lot of fame, not just, you know, within interviewing and art and music journalism spaces, but also community radio specifically. You know, that's where he got to start, CITR. And one thing I found really fascinating and really amazing about the event was the fact that he was so open and about talking about that. You know, I feel like a lot of times on this show and other shows that I'm on, as well as, you know, pretty much everyone here at CJSF, there is just like such a huge willingness to get other people to be involved with community radio. And I think he did a really good job during this show, which started off with just sort of this talk portion about selling what is so special about community radio. Later on, he goes more into his career and certain things that have happened throughout. But I thought I would play this sort of intro speech that he did, which I thought was really, really cool. He mentioned CITR a lot. So if in your head while listening, you can switch CITR with CJ. And no, I'm joking. But a lot of what he says about CITR can very directly be applied to what we do here at CJSF and what it means to be involved with CJSF. So keep that in mind. I think one thing that's really cool about community radio here is that a lot of community radio stations and what they represent and what they provide is kind of baked into the DNA of those stations. So even though every station is unique and has its own quirks and things that are different about it, there's always going to be a space for people to participate and to express their opinions and to learn new things. So with that being said, here is Nardwar speaking during his Nardwar Video Vault at the Hollywood Theater.
Well, I take the audio for CITR and the video for different mediums like YouTube. So when I say the word CITR, I'm really saying the word content creator. So please don't think what I say is like only about radio. No, it could be about a producer, it could be about an operator. This means content creator. And the purpose of CITR is to expose people to thoughts and ideas that they haven't heard before. There's nothing wrong with the common information that's out there, but why would Kirchner take that back? Try to provide something extra. At CITR, you're not a DJ. A DJ is told what to do. At CITR, you're a writer, you're an operator, you're a producer. You're in total control of what's going on, especially now with independent media. The power is in your pocket to create. It's absolutely amazing. Some of you may think, I don't know much. I should quit. Well, the less you know, the better. The minute you know everything, it's the minute you should quit. So if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, you're not good at interviews, or you're not good at music, you're not good at producing, you're not good at writing essays because you're so nervous. Well, the reason you're nervous is because you want to win. The minute you are nervous is the minute you should quit. I am nervous all the time. I'm nervous speaking to you. It's true. Once in a while, you know, you loosen up. But I'm always nervous every time, every minute. And the minute you're not nervous is the minute you should quit. In fact, one of the classic examples that happened at the UBC Thunderbird Stadium was when I had Lollapalooza there. Yes, Lollapalooza was there in 1995 with Courtney Love and her band Hole. I did an interview, and you can see it on YouTube, and as it was talking to Courtney Love, she was smoking a cigarette, and she put her cigarette right down at her thigh. Unfortunately, I was really close to her doing the interview, and her cigarette was burning my hand. I was so nervous, I was like, I did not notice her after the interview, like, holy mackerel, she burned up. But that's an example, when you see the interview, how nervous I am, and how nervous I was doing interviews. Also, I'm no expert on what's going on. You yourself may think, oh, he's an expert, he survived this long, or whatever. No, I'm not an expert. Like, an example, going back to CITR Radio, remember that band Green Day? Was anybody at their gig at the Howden Ballroom in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Yes, or the Cruel Elephant. Yes, I missed out on all those gigs, but I was still lucky enough as part of CITR to get a pre-release tape of their album Dookie that sold 16 million copies. I got a pre-release tape because they gave the DJ, so they said, hey, DJ, what do you think? I listened to it, and I did not hear one hit. Oh my God! So here I am speaking to you. Take what I say with like a grain of salt. Chris Murphy of the rock and roll band Sloan says I'm usually about 80% right. So just think about that. Also, every time I walk into CITR or every time I walk into a new environment, you learn something. Another example is, after a couple years at CITR, I thought I knew everything. So I'd show up my show and I'd play with it. But my show was buttressed by The Noise Show on CITR. And The Noise Show on CITR, Adam Sloan did The Noise Show. He used to microphone, mic up, the sound of him vacuuming the studio. That was the noise. And he would like, mic that. The noise. It was like back east, they call it radio art. But on CITR, we call it The Noise Show. So I walked in like, hey, Adam, how's it going? And Adam's like, shut up. There was Adam lying on the control board at CITR with the microphone up to his heart. And he was like, I'm broadcasting my heartbeat. That actually was going over the air. The tiny palpitations. Like, whoa, that's deep. I don't know everything. So every time I walk into CITR, I realize there's always something to learn. Every time I walk into a new environment, there's always something to learn. Another example is like likes. Like when I published the interview that I did, I'll talk a bit about it more later, with Nirvana on January 4th, 1994, and I videotaped the interview, and I took the audio and played it on CITR Radio. And I expected a lot of phone calls. Every phone call you got at CITR, it meant like 50 people were listening. So I expected how many people to phone in? 20,000. Not one person phoned in. Nobody cared. And this is an interview with like the hottest band in the world at their peak. Rest in peace, Kurt Cobain, and nobody cared. So when somebody knew, a creator, or somebody comes up to me and goes like, oh, I'm really into videos, but I posted something and I only got like 5 likes. You're like, that's 5 more likes than I got for Nirvana. What the hell are you talking about? The internet never forgets. Also, your friends tell you what's wrong. Your enemies let you rot in hell. I was renewed. Empire Center, a guy said, "Hey, you're Nardwar. You play in the band The Evaporators as well." And I was like, "Yeah, yeah, that's right. You suck. You and your band sucks. You are a piece of..." And then I was like, "That's amazing. You know my band name. Thank you." I thought it was so good that he said, he got it all out, and he told me exactly what he felt. Rather than him going, "Oh, look, that guy's on Hardware, instead of Operators, they suck away." I love it. So if your friends tell you something, I'm like, you know, like, it's good. Your friends tell what is wrong. That's good. Your enemies kind of let you rot. Now, if someone does something really bad, maybe phone the police. That's really bad. However, just keep in mind, don't be afraid of a bit of criticism. Also, don't be intimidated. At CITR Radio, I worked as a volunteer coordinator. Yes, people would show up at CITR Radio, and I'd have to train them on how everything worked at CITR. Translation, I had to deprogram people who attended broadcast school to show them that they were welcome at CITR. They would show up at CITR Radio and say stuff like, "Oh, my voice is like deep. I can't go double shot. My voice training indicates that at this broadcast school that I was going to be a failure." Well, excuse me, one person has an amazing deep voice. I'm not going to argue with that. But the more fucked up and unique your voice is, the more you'll fit in. So don't feel like you can't do it. Yes, you can. It may take a while. Patience sucks. But please roll with it if you can. Show everything to.
Once again, that was Nardwar's a snippet of Nardwar's intro speech during his Nardwar Video Vault event here at Hollywood Theater last Thursday. And yeah, that is a man with a lot of energy. There were moments where it really felt like his brain was moving faster than his mouth could. And the speech went a lot of places, but one part in particular I really liked is talking about that when you volunteer at a radio station such as CITR or CJSF in this case, you are wearing so many hats. You know, you are a writer, a producer. There's no team. I mean, there's a team of people here, staff members, that can help you get started and help you sort of cultivate what you want to do. But in terms of your radio show, we are not writing anything for you. We are not producing anything other than like maybe an intro. We can help you with that. But regardless, it is so self-directed and in a way that isn't really necessarily... I think sometimes when people, you know, hear the words like, "Oh, we're just kind of, you're kind of thrown into this position of writing and producing and hosting," it can sound kind of intimidating, and it is in some ways. But I do think that community radio is a community, and it's a community that you can lean on. So with that being said, I hope you all took his words to heart. The minute you know everything, that's the minute you should quit. That's another thing he said numerous times during that very energized speech that he gave. And there was a lot more energy that night. So let me play another bit of what he was talking about.
Shows how other people are not doing simple research. Again, the goal for doing this entire thing is not to get somebody to say, "Well, how did you know that?" or whatever. It's to get people to talk.
Hi, this is Harry Styles, and you're watching Nardwar's Video Vault.
When more practices? Tuesdays? Do you have a lot on Tuesdays?
Yeah. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah. How did you know that?
We have to know.
Do you know where or no?
At the YMCA?
Yes. Wow. YMCA. Downtown Arlington.
The downtown?
Yes. Wow. Downtown. That's crazy.
The illest hour radio show.
What the fuck?
WH?
Bro, you talking about my high school?
WHFH. Oh. Jalen the illest.
What the fuck? What the fuck? How? Nardwar, how? How do you...
You are Juice World. We have to know if you cheat in math.
Yeah.
I how do you know that?
Well, you're a Kid Leroy. We have to know.
No, I did cheat you, Matt, off of it. There was a kid named... Wait, do you have this written down or no?